Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And I also have my wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, who is the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Today our topic is, what if I'm scared to walk away? First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio and Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. And also go to RewriteStory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away. Cindy, I'm scared to leave her. First of all, we're a two-income family, and now to be reduced down to one income, how am I going to pay all my bills? And not only that, you know, I've been with my significant other forever, and how am I going to live without her? You know, I know it's not that great. I know that it's a toxic relationship, but you know what? At least it's better to have somebody, you know, laying down next to me, you know, while I'm asleep and have a warm body. It's scary. You know, what am I going to do?
Now, I know. I really feel you. I am terrified to leave, too. I just feel like no other man would ever look at me again, and I'm thinking, well, at least this is better than nothing. And I know what to expect, but gosh, if I leave him, what is going to happen to me? Do I really want to be alone for the rest of my life? Because I just know no other guy's ever going to look at me once I leave. And then it's like, what's going to happen if I get sick? He does a lot for me. He takes care of my cars, and whenever I've been sick, he's taken care of me. And what's going to happen? Who's going to do these things if I leave him? I mean, you know, I know things aren't good, but at least I know what to expect in the relationship I'm in.
And you know what, Cindy? Here's what really gets to me. Do I really want to die alone? I mean,
do
on
I
my
really
final days, do
alone?
I want to be alone?
Right. And welcome to today's episode, The Fear of Leaving, or I'm Afraid of Leaving. And if you're want to, you can call in live at 713-955-0561 and get on the air with us and ask us any questions or comments you might have. You can visit the Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/ Your Toxic Relationship Dance, and post any questions or comments there. And if you're on the radio show page, you can join the chat with Al. And with that said, I mean, we're always afraid of the unknown. And so often, and whenever you're leaving a relationship, one of the biggest things is the fear of being alone. And just as Al said a minute ago, do I want to die alone? Now, I sort of have a theory about the dying alone part. I think even if you're surrounded by loved ones whenever you die, they're not experiencing what you're experiencing. So you're dying alone anyways. And I also have a statement that I say all the time, is being alone in a relationship is far worse than being alone. Or being lonely in a relationship is far worse than being alone. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So you know, and again, and for all of us, or for those of you that are in a toxic relationship, and part of you wants to walk away, you know, you're saying to yourself, you know what, I'm done. But then, and then you walk out the front door and you start going, oh, do I really want to do this? You know, and just, you know, even though it, to some degree it feels right, but part of your mind and your ego starts going, do you really want to do this? Can you afford to live without him or her? Or is it okay to wake up the next morning without a warm body next to you? You know, even though you're not getting along, all these things start popping in your head because you start thinking, wow, do I really want to do this? And I will tell you this, and something that I went through last year is when you dive headfirst into a scenario that you're not sure of, or it's no longer available to you, when you walk through that scenario, go through that scenario, I will tell you this, on the other side of it is wonder. you start feeling freedom and liberation because you're breaking the shackles that have been holding you down. And all of a sudden you feel free. And I'm not going to tell you and lie to you and say all of a sudden everything is all a bed of roses. It's not. But you feel the liberation and the freedom once you break those shackles of whatever is going on in your relationship.
There's definitely a feeling of freedom, but there's also, you know, the fear of still what's next because you're totally going into the unknown. I relate it to the story of Plato's cave, you know, and the story of Plato's cave, I don't know if you've heard it before, Al, or, you know, for our listeners that have never heard this story, is you have all these people that from birth, they were chained up, their necks were shackled to the wall, and they had to sit there, and they were facing this other wall as they sat there. Behind the wall, every day, the people, there was a opening to the cave, and every day people are going to walk through, and they hold up things. They hold up a pig or a fire or anything like that. So the people that are chained to the wall, all they see is what's on the wall in front of them. They see the shadows, the images of all of these things, of the pigs, of the cows, of the sun. But they've never ever seen it because they've been shackled their entire life to this wall. And to them, this is what they're used to. It's their life, and they don't know anything else exists. And then one day, one of the prisoners escapes, and he walks around the wall, and he sees this big opening of the cave, and he walks out, and he's like, wow, what is that big yellow bright thing in the sky? It blinds my eyes. It hurts. It really hurts. This is blinding me. Wow, what is that? That stuff growing on the ground. What is this? You know, and is that a color? Is that like, that's green? Or, you know, oh, there's a red rose. So they're seeing all these things for the first time, and it's blinding and it hurts all of their senses because they've never seen it before. You know, and so now they go back to the cave and they're telling the other people in the cave, hey, if you know, I can break you through of these chains and you can walk outside with me where there's a whole different world. Well, not everybody's going to walk back outside with them because they're so used to these shadows that they're seeing on the wall. To them, this is the reality. This is the way that they're used to, and they're terrified of going outside. Some of them may break free and walk to the entry of the cave, and then they see the big, you know, the sun, the brightness of the sun. They say, the hell with this. I'm not going out there, man. That hurts. And goes back and, you know, back to sit down on their wall where they just see the shadows. And leaving a toxic relationship is really a lot like this. You are so used to seeing all these shadows, these glimpses of what maybe true love might look like, of what maybe freedom might look like, of what maybe feeling at peace might look like, but you've never experienced it. And so once you break off this toxic relationship and you walk outside, it does give you a sense of wonder, a sense of, wow, this is all new, and a sense of freedom because you've never experienced it before. But at the same time, everything you're experiencing blinds you. It scares the hell out of you, and you want to run back into your cave.
I agree with you, Cindy. And so one of the things that it's going to take is to sum up the courage that you have within you. And for many of you, it'll be courage that you haven't tapped into because all of a sudden you're doing something after a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you know, you've been in a toxic relationship and all of a sudden you got to have the courage to walk out that front door. And I know that we're basically talking about toxic relationships, but there's another additional perspective here that you could add to, especially for those that have kids. You know, if you have kids at home and you're in a toxic relationship, you're showing your kids what's quote unquote normal. And unless they become awake and conscious and understanding that is not normal as they mature, they're gonna buy into and saying, okay, well, this is how my parents lived, this is how they did it, therefore this must be normal. And that's the last thing you want to show them. So if you can't sum up the courage from within you to do it for yourself, then have the courage for your kids and utilize that moment and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to show my kids a better life. And I'm going to show them that this is not normal. I'm going to show them that being in a toxic relationship is not something that you readily accept, that there is something better. And so if you can't do it for yourself, at the very least, do it for your kids.
Yeah, there's a couple things I do. If you go to my website, coachingfordivorcedwoman.com, on the home page, there's something you can click on that says, should I leave or should I go? And whenever you click on this, you can sign up to receive 50 questions to ask yourself to help you decide, should I stay or should I go? Once you decide that you want to go, sometimes it's hard to maintain the whole balance of, yes, I'm leaving, I'm leaving. Now, once I decided myself that it was best for me to go, and I had to keep my courage up, what I did was I wrote down a list of reasons why it was better for me to leave. And I had to read this list several times every single day to keep the courage to leave. You know, I left my dad's house at 18 years old, got married, was married for 20 years. I had never, ever been alone. I'd never been on my own. I was always under, you know, the umbrella of a man, head of the household being a man. So it was terrifying to me. And at the beginning, whenever I was saying my fears, all of those fears were the actual fears I had when I was deciding to leave or go, or leave or stay. So it's really, you know, sometimes you're going to have to take that extra step. I've had clients that I've done the same thing. It's write a list of why it's best for you to leave. Because sometimes it's so easy to crawl back in your cave of what's familiar. And oftentimes, as Al said, one of the best reasons to leave is you want to be a good role model for your children. If you're a, you know, if you're a man, and I had a client like this, he had taken his significant other back 3 times after she cheated on him. And his son was 5 years old the third time, and he said, what am I teaching my son? I'm teaching my son that it's okay for a woman to cheat on you and just keep taking her back. And this was key in him deciding it was over and making it stay over and not taking her back. And the same with a lot of women. Women sit there and think, I've been mentally abused, or, you know, I'm teaching my daughters that they're not worth anything, that the man is always right, you know, if they're in an abusive relationship. So holding on to what values and what you're teaching your children. And your children do see whatever is in your household as normal. When my children were 4 and 5, they were being babysat by my their grandfather, who had to leave. So then he took my children to my brother and sister-in-law's house. And these people would go into total fist fights, okay? They would they literally fist fights. And so my children and their children, which their children were 2 and 3 because they're all a year apart, they were watching cartoons in the front room, and all of a sudden my brother and sister-in-law broke out into their fist fight. And it was just, to my children, my kids are older now, they're adults, and they both remember this because it terrified them. They had never in their life seen a couple fight like that. And so it totally terrified my children, not being used to that type of fight. But what my daughter to this day says, it always amazed her how my niece and nephew kept watching cartoons, laughing at the cartoons, and appeared to be seemingly oblivious to the fight their parents were having. And so whatever your toxicity is, you are teaching your children that it's normal, and then they can just sit there and watch cartoons and laugh, thinking that what my parents do is normal, but know that you're teaching them by your behavior. More than by your words, you're teaching them by your behavior.
I agree, Cindy. And another aspect, and you kind of brought it up right now, is, and I want to go back to the courage aspect of it, you know, you got to sum up the courage for yourself to walk out. And if you can't do it for yourself, you have kids, then you got to do it for your kids based on everything we're just talking about. But But you have to hold on to that courage, because you're going to be faced with challenges and obstacles and hurdles, but I call them as opportunities. But here's the thing. You got to hold on to that courage, because the last thing you want to do is go running back to what you feel is secure and safe. Because and you take that person back, or you go back, move back into the home, because it gets fearful. You get scared of what's going on. All the new and freshness that's going on around you, and you feel uncertain in the unknown that you walk into. So you got to hold on to that courage, and because the bottom line is, eventually you're going to look back in your life and you're going to say, did I live the life? Or do I have the relationship that I desire to have? Because if you live a life of regrets, then you're gonna end up dying unhappy, because you're gonna say, I could have, I should have, you know, would have, and you gotta hold on to that courage. And I'm gonna tap into something else in regards to that. But courage comes from walking out the door for yourself, and if you have kids, do it for your kids. But the absolute courage also comes up with, don't go back. Keep moving forward.
Exactly. You know, my client, like I was saying, that had went back to his significant other three times. He kept going back thinking, I want a family, and my son is better off growing up with their mother and father. And this isn't always necessarily true, and you can find as many studies out there showing that separating hurts your children as much as you can that they don't hurt your children. From so many people that I know that are from, per se, that were raised by a single parent, or, you know, had even, you know, were had shared custody where they were raised by their mother and father, I know tons of people like this that were very, very, very successful. So the thing that hurts the child, and that's whether you're in the relationship or not, is the constant fighting and degrading of each other. I had another client, when she first called me, she had not left her significant other, her husband, yet, and she had a four-year-old son. And she told me, she said, it breaks my heart because my son the other day told my husband, well, you know, I know mommy hates you. And isn't that sad that a four-year-old is so intuitive that just by watching his mom and dad, he told his dad, mommy hates you. If you don't want to teach your child hate, you don't want to teach your child, and that's what you're doing whenever you're in these toxic relationships with your children. You're teaching them that the fighting, the bickering, the abuse, the toxicity relationship is perfectly normal. And if you separate and you get healthy yourself and you learn how to create the type of life that you want, and you both, you know, the child has the right to be loved and to love both parents, and you don't fight in front of the kids and you learn how to co-parent effectively, doesn't mean you have to be buddy buddies, but you can co-parent effectively, then this child grows up seeing two parents making themselves happy, and this child grows up seeing, you know, even if only one parent does it, even if it's just you, this child grows up seeing that you set boundaries so that you can create the happy, peaceful life that you want, and therefore this your child is going to grow up to do the same.
Right on, Cindy. And for the audience, you know, and again, summing up that courage to walk out that front door and then leave a relationship, it all comes down to this. How much do you prioritize yourself? How important are you? How much self-love do you have yourself? How much self-worth do you have for yourself? Because when you truly care enough about yourself, when you truly love yourself enough to say enough is enough, and especially mm-hmm. if you have kids, you know, when you say enough is enough, that's where the courage has got to come. At some point, you got to tell yourself, I'm done. And I matter. I am important. I do care about myself. And if I have kids, I do care about my kids enough to move on and to move out and to leave this relationship. So to get that courage, you got to start considering how important you are for yourself.
Right. And, you know, I have said this oftentimes. I was at the point where I had to give up and die. I had told somebody, you know, they said that they were proud of me for leaving. And I didn't feel courageous. I said I was at the point I either had to give up or die. There was like no in between. It was either give up and live this horrible life I was living or die. So she had said, well, she said that, you know, that was a courageous decision to leave the relationship. And I didn't think of it at that time as courageous. And sometimes because you're in such a toxic relationship, you may be even harder to think about loving yourself. So I go a little bit deeper into saying you really need to start envisioning your life without the other person. And I don't mean that you're envisioning this big, happy life. You're envisioning, gee, if I don't get child support, how am I going to pay my bills? You know, what type of an apartment can I afford by myself? If I don't get any money at all from my spouse and I lose, you know, their half of the income, where am I going to live? Do I have friends that can I stay with or family? What am I going to do, like, if, you know, what am I going to do if this happens? And just start asking yourself these questions. One of the questions I asked myself was, what would I do if I got sick again? I was majorly ill for 5 years, and I almost died a couple times. So this was a very real fear for me. It's, my God, who's going to take care of me? It was also a couple years after both my parents died, so I felt orphaned. There was no running back to Mama's house. And I really had to sit there and think, who was going to take care of me? What would happen if I got sick? And once I came up with different people who would step up to the plate and take care of me, it made me feel better. And even when I left my ex, I actually asked him if he would take care of me if I got sick again, because this is how deep of a fear it was for me. And so sometimes it's the self-love, but it's the envisioning. It's asking yourself these questions, and sometimes it's journaling down the answers. What is it going to look like if I leave him? My ex and I battled with the should I stay or go question probably for 4 or 5 years before I mustered up the courage to leave him. So, you know, if you're in it for long term, don't beat yourself up and know everything happens in the right moment. And know that you're, you know, you're going towards something good. You're learning, you're growing, and all of that's a part of showing yourself love. But we were remodeling our house, and there was a mistake that was made, $1,000 mistake that was made. He had told me to order some cabinets, some special made cabinets from Home Depot. And when I was there ordering them, he called me up and told me I had the wrong measurements and gave me different measurements for the cabinets. Well, guess what? The ones that I originally had were correct, not the ones he gave me over the phone. But it was 100% my fault that these cabinet doors didn't fit our, you know, cabinets. He was yelling at me so bad while I was on the phone with Home Depot about this mistake. These were custom-made cabinets, so it wasn't like, hey, just return it to him. That the person I was speaking to kept apologizing to me, and they actually gave me a new set of cabinet doors at their cost. And I know that it was because they were probably thinking that once that they hung up the phone with me, I was going to be dead the way that Earl was yelling and screaming at me. So anyways, Earl told me, I'm so damn sick and tired of paying for your mistakes, so you're going to get a second job to pay for this mistake. And I did, because I was trained to obey. So I got a second job. But I can tell you, this second job gave me that courage. I thought, hey, if I have to, I can work two jobs and support my kids. I don't need Earl's money. I know that I am physically and mentally able to work two jobs and take care of my kids. And this was huge in my courage. And it's sort of ironic how it sort of, let's say, backfired on him teaching me a lesson. It was really a great lesson because it helped boost my self-confidence, and it gave me the courage to leave.
Awesome, Cindy. Congratulations. I know this isn't a part of the topic that we're discussing today, but it's something to consider, too. So you sum up the courage, you envision, you care enough about yourself or love yourself enough to walk out the front door. But one of the things that you also have to look into, and this could be talked at another show, but you have to, I don't know if healing is the right word, but you have to shift something within you such that you don't replay the same relationship again with someone else. Because it's part of you that allowed that relationship to exist. And if you don't let go or release what you brought to the table to allow that relationship to exist, you're going to replay it again. You're going to recycle it again. So that's something else you have to consider, is that you have to take care of yourself enough or heal enough that you don't bring in another relationship that's identical to the one you just left.
Exactly. And that goes with the self-love and self-discovery. I mean, so basically you need to muster up the courage. You need to envision what your life's going to be like without him or her. And you need to definitely do some self-discovery to find out who you are and what you want, and take responsibility for your life with what you did or did not do. You know, how could have, you know, what did you bring to the table, like Al just said, to allow this toxic relationship to happen? And I want to add, though, if you're sitting on the other side and you've just been dumped, and you're like, oh, my God, the world's coming to an end. What the hell just happened? You can still utilize these same three methods. You know, start, you know, getting the courage of knowing that you can live alone. And believe me, being alone is a lot less lonely than being lonely in a relationship. So, and then start envisioning what your future is going to look like without this person. This is one of the hardest things I have whenever I get clients that have been duped, because they have such a hard time. He was my best friend. How can I go on? Well, obviously he's not your best friend no more, and you can go on. So you have your, you know, you have a lot of the same feelings whenever you've been dumped, for lack of a better word. You have a lot of the same feelings as the person deciding to leave and go. But you feel like that choice has been ripped away from you, which even makes it worse. You feel like I've been rejected instead of I'm the one that was doing the rejecting. So you want to, you know, have the courage and envision and start doing some self-discovery and find your own self-love. Every single person alive wants the same thing. They want to be loved and accepted for who they are. And first of all, you need to love and accept yourself for who you are.
Totally agree. And again, this is a great topic and a great discussion we just had, Cindy. And for those of you that are listening, Cindy went through this, and she had to have the courage to move on and enough self-love to move on in her and envisioning what she, the type of life she would like to have. And here it is years later, it all worked out. It all worked out. And so perhaps it's an inspiration for the rest of you that it does work out. And I'm not going to tell you that it's a bed of roses and it's going to be like everything's going to go really well right at first, but eventually it will all work out just like it did for Cindy.
Mm-hmm. And the key to that is always, you know, and I know Al and I talked about this a lot, it's self-love. Once you learn to love yourself, it is definitely going to all work out. And by loving yourself, we're not even talking about being conceited. Maybe this would be the great topic for us to go into next week, Al, is simply the self-love. And that's whether you're still in the toxic relationship, you're getting out of it, or you've been out of it for 5 years. Because some people never find the self-love even after a relationship is ended. And they continue going into one toxic relationship after another, after another, after another. And I'm here to tell you 100%, had I not learned to love and accept myself, I would not be sitting where I'm sitting right now.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah, so that's definitely where it's at. Yeah, I was just saying that's definitely where it's at. Whenever you love and accept yourself, it's definitely going to work out. And that should be your number one goal wherever you are, is to learn to love and accept yourself so that your life will work out.
And Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach for CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. Contact me at al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, join us for this wonderful discussion that Cindy and I have. Thank you all for joining us. Remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day, a wonderful evening. Great discussion, Cindy.
Thanks, and big love to everybody, and have a fantastic weekend and next week, and we'll be chatting with you again next Friday.
Take care.